Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:29 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 30th. This has been an eventful month. October was notable for a remarkable rally across the majority of stock markets. November will probably be remembered for quite the opposite. It was a month in which we saw volatility remain extraordinarily high, this time to the downside, and the majority of markets gave up much of October's advances. The last couple of days have changed that somewhat. We had a big move on Monday. It was the first upward dynamic we'd seen in almost a full month, that we saw a large number of markets finding support above their October lows. And then they held on to most of their gains yesterday, but didn't do much today. We see that there is some semblance of cooperation between central banks, that you had five central banks, all the major central banks in Europe and in North America coming together and cutting the interest rate on swaps. As a result, into the close on Europe, the majority of markets were up in excess of 3%. The FTSE was up 3.16%. The CAC and the DAX were both up in excess of 4%. The DAX up almost 5%, in fact. The OMX in Sweden up over 5%. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones up over 4%, 490 points. The S&P up over 4%, the Nasdaq up over 4%, same with the TSX, Mexico up over 3%, Brazil up over 2%. So this is a dramatic rebound over the last 3 days. If October was notable for its move to the upside and November notable for its move to the downside, it is looking increasingly likely that December is going to be notable for a big move to the upside. Sentiment at the end of last week was apocalyptically bearish, and it really can be taken as a contrary indicator when you start to get people invoking religion in their analysis. The number of reports that crossed my desk talking about the fact that so much wrong had been done by various people in authority, in positions of authority in financial institutions, and that they were finally getting their just desserts, and that there would have to be restitution for their sins. That type of analysis is not helpful. It really does suggest that people are becoming a little bit divorced from reality. The amount of volatility we've had in the markets is debilitating for sentiment. And last week, sentiment had really deteriorated to quite an extraordinary level. If we review what's happened in here today, gold was stronger by $28, so it had been a little bit overextended relative to the MA when it was up at $1,800. It fell back below $1,700. It's rebounded sharply in the last couple of days. Silver was up 90 cents in here today. Copper, which had been really quite weak in for most of November, was up 18 cents today. It's back above $3.50 on that COMEX contract. Both platinum and palladium were also in positive territory in here today. The commodity sector generally was up in a dynamic fashion. Some of the soft commodities, particularly cocoa, broke a number of consecutive days to the downside to move to the upside in here today. U.S. Treasuries were weaker by almost 2 full points. Gilts were lower by 0.8 of a full point. Eurobonds have been lower on consecutive days. They're right back to this 133 area. They were a bit more positive in here today. They are probably going to unwind a short-term oversold condition. A sustained move below 133 would confirm a medium-term top formation completion on Euro bunds. We may not be there just yet, but it does appear to be something that cannot be ruled out. The US dollar has been had rallied considerably for much of November. It has given up some of its gains in here today. It was weaker against the euro by over a full cent. Same against the pound, just under 1 cent. The Australian dollar was stronger by almost 3 cents. The Canadian dollar by over a cent, and the dollar is now unwinding some of its short-term overbought condition against a whole range of assets. When you look at the Asian dollar index, that index got right back down to test its October lows, and now it is bouncing emphatically. So we're getting a good bounce in here. There is a wave of short covering was initiated today with central banks finally beginning to move in concert. That will take some pressure off of Europe. They will be more inclined to come up with a more substantive plan when there is some international cooperation and support. So the bearish sentiment that has been expressed, and there are a number of commentators continuing to talk about the breakup of the euro, and that continues to remain an unlikely prospect. However, this isn't a crisis that is about to disappear. It's going to take time, above all else, to work through the problems that are out there in the eurozone. Today was also an important day in China. Following the close, and it was a weak close on the A shares, and this central bank action news didn't break until mid-morning in Europe, when the majority of Asian markets were already closed. India was quite a bit stronger in here today. It was still open when this news broke, and it started to rally. India is also a market which has been among the weakest in Asia, and its currency has also, I think, hit an almost, I think, a record low against the US dollar over the last month. So there is plenty of potential for at least a recovery rally in a market like India, and indeed in a number of other Asian markets. In China today, they cut the reserve requirement on their banks. They've been progressively raising reserve requirements on the banking sector for the last almost 3 years. Raising reserve requirements has been the primary organ with which they've been attempting to squeeze the stimulus out of the system that was initiated during the credit crisis. Reserve requirements are now, following the cut, at 21%. That's still a multiple of the reserve requirements for banks in other parts of the world. They have significant room to ease policy. They want to be targeted about it. Targeted easing has been the catchphrase in China. They are attempting to continue to moderate the property prices, but they are also now attempting to stimulate the manufacturing sector, which has been probably hit harder than just about any other sector by the tightening and the tightening credit conditions. When we were in China a month ago, just about everyone we talked to was complaining about how difficult trading conditions had become and how difficult it was to access credit. They were also pretty sure that the central government wasn't going to let them out in the cold, and that some form of easing was in the pipeline. So we're starting to see that. China's probably one of the most unloved markets globally today. It is also a policy-driven market, and policy is beginning to change, and valuations are back at an area which has historically been consistent with areas from which the market can rally. So we are starting to see the factors lining up in favor of a bounce at a minimum, and the beginning of a new bull market in the Chinese in Chinese equities. That certainly can't be ruled out, and sentiment, particularly towards China, has been remarkably bearish. So that is definitely something to bear in mind. Gold up almost $30 in here today. It remains within the context of quite a consistent advance. The biggest inconsistency on gold's chart over the last 3 years was the acceleration that we saw in the summer. It's unwound that, it's found support in the region of the 200-day moving average. It continues to post a progression of higher reaction lows from that low in the region of $1,550. And it hasn't done anything to really question the conviction of long-term holders of gold. I think people continue to look at gold and any significant pullback as an opportunity to accumulate. And with the continued uncertainty that we have in Europe and the answer from just about every central bank is to print more money, people are continuing to put their faith in something that literally cannot be printed into existence. The likelihood of gold going on and pushing onto new high ground at some point next year remains the best, not just the best case scenario, the most likely scenario for that market. Oil today was as high as $101.75. It trimmed that advance. That's positive. Oil has bounced back rather well in the last couple of days. It's back in the region of the $100 mark. It was not up 4% like most of the majority of Western stock markets in here today. Provided we don't see oil surging to the upside, that is unlikely to derail the capacity for these markets to continue to rally. We have now seen that markets have put in a higher reaction low. The vast majority of markets, Wall Street, a number of markets in Europe, and most markets in Asia have now put in a higher reaction low. They now need to put in a higher high. They need to sustain moves above their 200-day moving averages. They need to push back up into the overhead ranges and reassert their medium-term uptrends. That isn't all going to happen in one go, but what we are starting to see is that these markets are taking baby steps to reasserting and moving to the upside, and our scenario for a short, sharp bear market remains intact. The leading shares, which continue to represent the growth of the global middle class, are already hitting new highs. They're already extending. Hitting new all-time highs, breaking upwards to new high ground, sustaining moves above their 200-day moving averages. They're leaders. They are temporal leaders. They're also relative performance leaders, and they're worth monitoring if for no other reason than when they begin to lose uptrend consistency, that's likely to be at least a warning shot for any bull market that develops. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.